Penguin Random House Audio presents A Hologram for the King by Dave Eggers. Read for you by Dion Graham.
1. Alan Clay woke up in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. It was May 30th, 2010. He had spent 2 days on planes to get there. In Nairobi, he had met a woman. They sat next to each other while they waited for their flights. She was tall, curvy, with tiny gold earrings. She had ruddy skin and a lilting voice. Alan liked her more than many of the people in his life, people he saw every day. She said she lived in upstate New York, not that far from his home in suburban Boston. If he had courage, he would have found a way to spend more time with her. But instead, he got on his flight and he flew to Riyadh and then to Jeddah. A man picked him up at the airport and drove him to the Hilton. With a click, Alan entered his room at the Hilton at 1:12 a.m. He quickly prepared to go to bed. He needed to sleep. He had to travel an hour north at 7 for an 8 o'clock arrival at the King Abdullah Economic City. There, he and his team would set up a holographic teleconference system and would wait to present it to King Abdullah himself. If Abdullah was impressed, he would award the IT contract for the entire city to Reliant, and Alan's commission in the mid-six figures would fix everything that ailed him. So he needed to feel rested, to feel prepared. But instead, he had spent 4 hours in bed, not sleeping. He thought of his daughter, Kit, who was in college, a very good and expensive college. He did not have the money to pay her tuition for the fall. He could not pay her tuition because he had made a series of foolish decisions in his life. He had not planned well. He had not had courage when he needed it. His decisions had been short-sighted. The decisions of his peers had been short-sighted. These decisions had been foolish and expedient. But he hadn't known at the time that his decisions were short-sighted, foolish, or expedient. He and his peers did not know they were making decisions that would leave them, leave Alan, as he now was, virtually broke, nearly unemployed, the proprietor of a one-man consulting firm run out of his home office. He was divorced from Kit's mother, Ruby. They had now been apart longer than they had been together. Ruby was an unholy pain in the ass who now lived in California and contributed nothing financially to Kit's finances. "College is your thing," she told him. "Be a man about it," she said. Now Kit would not be in college in the fall. Alan had put his house on the market, but it had not yet sold. Otherwise, he was out of options. He owed money to many people, including $18,000 to a pair of bicycle designers who had built him a prototype for a new bicycle he thought he could manufacture in the Boston area. For this, he was called an idiot. He owed money to Jim Wong, who had loaned him $45,000 to pay for materials in the first and last on a warehouse lease. He owed another $65,000 or so to a half dozen friends and would-be partners. So he was broke. And when he realized he could not pay Kit's tuition, it was too late to apply for any other aid, too late to transfer. Was it a tragedy that a healthy young woman like Kit would take a semester off of college? No, it was not a tragedy. The long, tortured history of the world would take no notice of a missed semester of college for a smart and capable young woman like Kit. She would survive. It was no tragedy. Nothing like tragedy. They said it was a tragedy what had happened to Charlie Fallon. Charlie Fallon froze to death in the lake near Alan's house, the lake next to Alan's house. Alan was thinking of Charlie Fallon while not sleeping in the room at the Jeddah Hilton. Alan had seen Charlie step into the lake that day. Alan was driving away on his way to the quarry. It had not seemed normal that a man like Charlie Fallon would be stepping into the shimmering black lake in September, but neither was it extraordinary. Charlie Fallon had been sending Alan pages from books. He had been doing this for 2 years. Charlie had discovered the transcendentalists late in life and felt a kinship with them. He had seen that Brook Farm was not far from where he and Alan lived, and he thought it meant something. He traced his Boston ancestry, hoping to find a connection, but found none. Still, he sent out in pages, with passages highlighted. The workings of a privileged mind, Alan thought. Don't send me more of that shit, he told Charlie. But Charlie grinned and sent more. So when Alan saw Charlie stepping into the lake at noon on a Saturday, he saw it as a logical extension of the man's new passion for the land. He was only ankle deep when Alan passed him that day. Two. When Alan woke in the Jeddah Hilton, he was already late. It was 8:15. He had fallen asleep just after 5. He was expected at the King Abdullah Economic City at 8. It was at least an hour away. After he showered and dressed and got a car to the site, it would be 10. He would be 2 hours late on the first day of his assignment here. He was a fool. He was more a fool every year. He tried Kaylee's cell phone. She answered, her husky voice. In another lifetime, a different spin of the wheel wherein he was younger and she was older, and both of them stupid enough to attempt it, he and Kaylee would have been something terrible.
Hello, Alan. It's beautiful here. Well, maybe not beautiful, but you're not here.
He explained. He did not lie. He could no longer muster the energy, the creativity required.
Well, don't worry,
she said, with a small laugh. That voice of hers implied the possibility of, celebrated the existence of a fantastic life of abiding sensuality.
We're just setting up, but you'll have to get your own ride. Any of you know how Alan will get a ride out here?
She seemed to be yelling to the rest of the team. The space sounded cavernous. He pictured a dark and hollow place, 3 young people holding candles, waiting for him and his lantern.
He can't rent a car,
she said to them, and now to him.
Can you rent a car, Alan?
I'll figure it out, he said. He called the lobby.
Hello, Alan Clay here. What's your name?
He asked names, a habit Joe Travol instilled back in the Fuller Brush days. Ask names, repeat names. You remember people's names, they remember you. The clerk said his name was Edward.
Edward?
Yes, sir. My name is Edward. Can I help you?
Where are you from, Edward?
Jakarta, Indonesia, sir.
Ah, Jakarta, Alan said.
Then he realized he had nothing to say about Jakarta. He knew nothing about Jakarta.
Edward, what do you think of me renting a car through the hotel?
Do you have an international driver's license?
No.
Then no, I don't think you should do this.
Alan called the concierge. He explained he needed a driver to take him to the King Abdullah Economic City.
This will take a few minutes, the concierge said.
His accent was not Saudi. There were apparently no Saudis working at this Saudi hotel. Alan had assumed as much. There were few Saudis working anywhere, he'd been told. They imported their labor in all sectors.
We must find someone appropriate to drive you, the concierge said. You can't just call a taxi?
Not exactly, sir.
Alan's blood went hot. But this was a mess of his making. He thanked the man and hung up. He knew you couldn't just call a taxi in Jeddah or Riyadh, or so said the guidebooks, all of which were overwrought when it came to elucidating the dangers of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to foreign travelers. The State Department had Saudi on the highest alert. Kidnapping was not unlikely. Alan might be sold to Al-Qaeda, ransomed, transported across borders. But Alan had never felt in danger anywhere, and his assignments had taken him to Juarez in the 90s, Guatemala in the 80s. The phone rang.
We have a driver for you. When would you like him?
As soon as possible.
He'll be here in 12 minutes.
Alan showered and shaved his mottled neck. He put on his undershirt, his white button-down, khakis, loafers, tan socks. Just dress like an American businessman, he'd been told. There were the cautionary tales of overzealous Westerners wearing thobes, headdresses, trying to blend in, making an effort. This effort was not appreciated.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?